Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Patrick Smith, who describes himself as an amateur guitar player who takes it very seriously. He's been playing guitar for many years. He's taken quite a few courses in guitar playing, and in particular in Alexander technique related courses. He has a blog that he contributes to regularly about his experiences practicing and playing and how the Alexander technique fits in with that. He studied with a number of Alexander teachers and most recently with David Jernigan. Patrick lives in Tacoma Park, which is just outside of Washington, D.C. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert.
Patrick, could you begin by just giving our listeners a short answer to the question, what is the Alexander technique?
Yeah, short answer. Well, for me, it's been a way of connecting my body and mind in the present moment with what I'm doing, particularly related around the guitar, but it can be extended to anything. It's a way of introducing an ease and freedom into my body that is not natural to me, was not natural. It's becoming a little more so.
And did you first encounter the Alexander technique after you'd been playing for a long time?
Well, the quick story is I played as a young man and then let go of it at some point. And then around the age of 28, I started to play again. And then a few years after that, I took a guitar craft course under the direction of Robert Fripp. That was 22 years ago, actually, in 89. And as part of all those courses, the Alexander technique is a part of it. Frank Sheldon was there along with another woman. Her name was Daria, but her last name escapes me now. So that was my introduction to it. I've been involved in guitar craft heavily since then. And so the Alexander technique was something that whenever I was on a course, their residential courses, sometimes a week long, sometimes longer. The work that Frank and others would do, eventually Sandra Bain Cushman became part of it. I always felt better. I'd come home and people would say, God, you look better. You look a little taller.
And did it help your playing at that point as well?
At the time my playing, I really wasn't that good of a player. So I'm sure it was helping. But I couldn't see it as much then. Where it got more serious for me, about 4 years ago, I got a nasty case of tendonitis in my left arm and wrist. And I had to stop playing. And I did, you know, Western treatments, acupuncture, muscle release technique. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
That was very effective. And around that time, I started studying Qigong some and paying more attention to how I use myself. And then just February of last year, I was on a course with Sandra, a residential course, and was going to be on another one in March and decided in between the two courses, I would take a couple lessons. And that's when I found David Jernigan. And I really started to embrace the Alexander technique to check in regularly, give myself the directions, do lie downs more frequently.
And by lie downs, we're referring to, a lying down process that Alexander teachers often have their students do, which is it's a very specific way of lying down. I don't think
Correct.
We need to go into it too much here, except that it has it has some pretty powerful benefits.
Oh, absolutely.
And is one of the easiest things a student can do to enhance their physical functioning if they're taking Alexander lessons.
Correct.
I know from reading your blog that you, when you're practicing and when you're performing, Alexander-type ideas keep coming up, and you find yourself applying some basic Alexander principles to yourself as you play. And over that period of time, I assume that you've kind of gotten some insights into what the technique offers, in your case, to a guitar player, but more generally to musicians that might be missing from traditional music teaching.
Sure. Well, it's helped me to pay attention to how I'm using my body while I'm with the instrument. Mm-hmm. So, for one, referencing the tendonitis again, I also had issues in my shoulder, the left shoulder that holds the weight of the guitar. Mm-hmm. It got to the point I was thinking about buying a different guitar that would be lighter. But in learning how to apply the technique, the shoulder no longer hurts, the wrist no longer hurts, and there's a general ease in my playing. Sometimes as I'm working with it, my tone gets better. Tone being the quality of the sound that I'm producing.
So I'm assuming that the kind of issues that were addressed with Alexander lessons are not the sort of things that most, say, guitar teachers would teach a student. Is that fair to say?
I'd say that's pretty fair, yeah. One of the amazing things about guitar craft and Robert is a very, very mindful about how he uses himself, very efficient, effective in how he uses himself. So that is transmitted to us via him and via the use of the Alexander technique. Mm-hmm. But a lot of players, you know, they're just slung over their guitar, no sense of what they're doing or how they're doing it. And I find myself at times collapsing over the guitar a bit and hear and feel, you know, the difficulties that's causing me when I do that. And so
I mean, from my own experience in working with guitar players over the years, you often see, I guess, what you would call a kind of a curlingness in guitar players, sort of wrapping themselves around the guitar, but often in a pretty in a way that's not very helpful for breathing or for movement.
Correct.
Because it is a large instrument, and you got to get your hands in places. You know, the temptation to collapse yourself around the instrument is pretty great with a guitar.
Yeah, and I think for any musician, you know, your hands, your fingers are making such small, subtle movements, and you want to control them. Mm-hmm. Yet you need to let them be free, and that's where the crux of it all, I guess, mm-hmm. lies, and that's where the technique allows more freedom in how I make those small, subtle movements.
Right, right. So one thing, I'm sure other musicians must talk to you from time to time about the Alexander technique, and when you describe it to them, how do they typically react to what you tell them?
They look at me like I'm a little strange.
Yeah, and do you have any sense of why that is?
Yeah, It's just not part, I guess, of the common vocabulary of an idea of an approach. I think we might be seeing more of that. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't really know why. But, you know, part of it is now there is a large segment of musicians I'm in touch with because of being exposed to guitar craft that they, you know, they wouldn't look at me funny at all. But a lot of people now it's like, huh, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. I think maybe partly because the idea that how you use your own instrument, your own body, is can be changed, is maybe not something that most musicians have thought about. I don't. I to be. I have to say, I'm often very puzzled by it as well. Because, I mean, we know that musicians, in general, certainly professional musicians, an awful lot of them play in pain. It's a pretty hazardous profession in general, and but yet there is sometimes a kind of a resistance. I think sometimes also some musicians are worried that an Alexander teacher is going to, oh, I don't know, interfere with their musical playing technique. And they don't want that. Are there any sort of words of wisdom that you could share with fellow musicians that might encourage them if they're in pain or if they feel that maybe they're not playing as well as physically they ought to be able to?
Well, certainly if they're in pain or the latter of what you just said. It's hard to back up sometimes. It's always hard to back up and take a new look at a process. And I even at one point in taking these lessons with David in particular, and like I said, more embracing the technique, I found myself getting more confused while I was playing, having a period of time where it was even more difficult to play because, and letting go of some habits that work, they might not be the best habits for my long-term health as a player, but in trying to let go of them, then there's this little period of time where a lot of uncertainty was moving in. And but getting past that, I'm very happy I did it. Like I said, there's no more pain. The playing's easier, tone is better, and now when I have when I'm working on a piece and I'm having trouble working out the fingering, a couple of things I've picked up in the Alexander technique I can apply. Pedro de Alcantara, I don't know if I said his name correctly. He has a great book, and he has an exercise in there. That's not nec it is an Alexander technique, but it's introducing a rest after the first beat, when you're having problems, and just that simple little thing, that simple exercise, was a way to stay connected while negotiating a tricky passage, because I keep pausing every, each new measure, there's a pause and. Where am I? Where's my body? Is it? And it's made it. It's a very efficient exercise to learn a section or an entire piece of music with. So there are things like that about that technique too. Some people are musicians that teach it. Some are not. David happens to be one. So he has some insights that he shared with me that are very useful. But the one thing I would say for any musician or anyone is it's something that has to be experienced. You can read about it, you can hear people talking about it, but until you have the experience, it's, I mean, would you agree?
I think mostly I would agree. I would not agree 100% because I do think there are some ways that one can convey Alexander ideas in writing or speaking to someone that may, they're still going to have to get an experience, but they may not always need a teacher there. But having said that, I also should say that's it's a pretty controversial thing I just said, and a lot of teachers would not agree with that. But in general, yes. I mean, it's certainly true that the basic ideas of the technique are, you're going to learn them a lot faster with a teacher.
Right.
You know, in theory, you don't need one. Alexander, the developer of this work, did not have a teacher.
Correct.
But on the other hand, he spent quite a long time going up quite a few blind alleys before he came up with his, you know, a coherent method of teaching people. Yeah. And I guess one thing we should probably touch on is, of course, most Alexander Technique teachers are not musicians. So if you are a musician and you know the technique intrigues you, or what we're talking about intrigues you, could you say a word or maybe kind of allay any fears that a non-musician can help a musician play better?
Oh, certainly.
Can.
Frank Sheldon, the person who introduced it to me and who, for the first 7, 8 years I was around, it was the primary person. Frank does not play at all. Sandra does not play. Frank is, well, I'm not sure how old he is, but he has hearing difficulties, so he can't hear a lot of times, and yet that man has helped me and many, many other guitar players tremendously. The teacher being a musician, I don't think really has any bearing at all.
And just to clarify that last statement, because I'm sure a lot of musicians listening to that would say, how could that be? Could you maybe just elaborate on that a little bit? Why doesn't it matter if your teacher is a musician or not?
Yeah, why doesn't it? Well, an Alexander teacher's expertise is how to use themselves in a way that is free and ease. Is that a correct statement?
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And that is what they're transmitting. If we can, you know, if we can, anything we can do in that space will translate to everything else that we do. And so if Frank can, or whoever is working with me, can show me how to approach the guitar in a way that is free, he doesn't have to be a guitar player to do that. And in some ways, it may be even more useful. This is just my own conjecture now, but because he doesn't have any habits built up around it.
Right,
So
right,
there's
right. I always tell my students, you know, I am about probably one of the most unmusical people on the planet. I do like some kinds of music, but I can't sing, and I can't keep a beat. I can't really do anything musical. And I tell my students that that's not really a disadvantage. The only disadvantage is that I can't necessarily give them feedback about the quality of their singing or their playing, because I don't have an ear for it. But in a sense, for an Alexander teacher, approaching a musician, helping a musician, is in some ways really no different from helping anybody else, an office worker, or you know, helping someone with running
Sure.
or whatever activity someone wants some help with. We look at it from the point of view, well, what are they doing with themselves as they do that activity, and how can they improve it?
Right,
And
right.
so in that sense, it's just another activity, albeit a pretty demanding one for professional musicians. One of my teachers, Marjorie Barstow, used to talk about the two instruments, the musical instrument and the musician, him or herself, that instrument. And a point that she liked to make is the guitar or the piano or the flute or whatever is not going to change anytime soon. It's pretty
Right,
fixed.
correct. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you can approach that by distorting yourself to accommodate to it, or you can see what kind of flexibility and you've got within you, and what ability to Yes, accommodate to it, but accommodate in a way that doesn't harm you. I
Correct,
think
yeah.
that's kind of, and that's how she would put it. To me, I always thought that was a pretty nice way of looking at it. So, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share before we bring the interview to an end? Anything I haven't touched on that you think would be important to talk about?
No, I think you probably covered it, Robert. Anyone that's interested, I would urge to explore and to be as open-minded as possible.
Take a few lessons. You don't
Yeah.
need very many to
No.
get a sense of whether this is going to be useful to you.
Right.
And I like to just say again, we are an Alexander teacher is not going to go in there and try to change your musical technique or force you into some mode that you're not comfortable with. I think that is
Correct.
a fear of some musicians, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. My guest today has been Patrick Smith, who is a guitar player and lives in Tacoma Park. And if what we're talking about interests you and you live in that area, his teacher, his name is David Jernigan, and we'll put a link to both Patrick's website and to David's website by the interview. And if you don't live in that part of the world, we'll also put a link to a site where you can find a teacher anywhere in the world. And take a lesson or two or three, or if you're part of an orchestra or a musical group, maybe get a local Alexander teacher to come in and give a workshop. That would be a very nice way to introduce the technique to a group of musicians. So, Patrick, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert. It's been a pleasure.